So as I said, the last Sunday when I was here, we meditated on the first six verses of this psalm. And we learned that the only way to understand the righteousness of God and His providence is through persevering in the faith God has given to us. And the psalmist told us that in order to persevere in that faith, we should not envy the unbelievers, especially when they prosper. Rather, we should trust in God, we should delight in Him, and we should commit our ways to Him. Today we'll move on to the second section of this psalm, that is verses 7 until 20. Verses 7 until 20. And the psalmist focuses on the same theme of God's righteous providence, but this time he says, the way to understand that righteousness is by holding on to our integrity. And David, who is the actual psalmist, says we ought to hold on to our integrity because the times of testing and the trials are coming. So how do we hold fast to our integrity? David suggests three ways. One, we hope in God from verses 7 to 8. Second, we remind ourselves that God is a righteous judge, verses 9 until 11. And third, we remind ourselves that it is God who delivers us from the wicked people and He is the one who punishes them, verses 12 until 20. Let's look at these points one by one. So the first way we can hold fast to our integrity is by hoping in God. From verses 7 to 8 again, David commands us that we should wait patiently before the Lord without showing any envy or jealousy against those who do not believe in God, especially in the times when they are prospering. As I said earlier, the commands to be still and wait patiently anticipate that there are some trials and testing times which are ahead. Now, this sort of condition usually leaves people with a bitter attitude towards God. And that bitterness comes out in rage and anger. Imagine you have already been waiting for God to answer your prayers. And as you're waiting anxiously and with all your worries for that time to pass, you sense that God is bringing some sort of a trials in your life during that time. What will you do? Wasn't waiting enough that we should be tested for our faith as well? And David is a very good psychologist. He says, while we are waiting for God with all our anxieties, with all our jealousies, much waiting normally leads to bitterness and rage. And as a remedy, David in verse 8 suggests that we should refrain from anger and forsake wrath, because the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. David is, again, it's almost looking into our eyes and telling us that we have to persevere through the testing times. And in those times, we have to hold on to our integrity, especially when we feel bitter and when we feel angry against God. The time of waiting is never a time of relaxation. God is doing great things while He's making you wait. And hence, David suggests, control your anger, control the bitterness in you. If you don't do that, you will start doing the same works of people whom you are actually jealous and envy. Do you see how an internal problem of man becomes a social problem and then in turn affects the internal problem? Our jealousy, our envy is an internal problem, and how it affects the society and in turn how it affects us is some sort of a, for me it's some sort of a mystery. David is saying that from a perspective of sin and salvation. He's explaining to us the outworking of human heart in light of sin and in light of perseverance. And the only remedy he can give to us is that we should wait for the Lord. And it is in our waiting we proclaim that God is actually righteous. It is in our waiting we proclaim that God is actually righteous. It doesn't matter what our circumstances say, or it doesn't matter what we feel. It is by waiting in God, or waiting on God, we proclaim that God is righteous. The second way to hold on to our integrity is to remind ourselves that God is a righteous judge. Is to remind ourselves that God is a righteous judge. From verses 9 to 11, David states that the people of God actually do not need to fear this world or the prosperity that they show to us, because all of their wealth, all of their prosperity will soon be cut off. And the phrase cut off usually signifies that everything is going to be destroyed because of divine judgment. The wicked, the evildoer, the worldly will be destroyed with their wealth and prosperity because God is a righteous judge. And if you look at verse 9, for the evildoer shall be cut off. In verse 10, he explains how he will actually cut off. He says that in a little while, the wicked will be no more. Though you look carefully at his place, he will not be there. How interesting that God is not a being who's double-minded. We might think, let's be jealous of a person, then let's be merciful to that the same person. God says that when He has decided to cut off a certain people, even if you try to find them, you won't be able to find them. Their existence would be lost. In contrast, those who wait on the Lord will inherit the land, which means God would reward them for their patience and for their waiting. Now, the second part of verse 9 is expanded in verse 11. And it is as if David is saying, those who actually wait on the Lord are regarded as meek in sight of God. They are the ones who are meek in sight of God. And their reward is not only the land or the possessions that God is going to bless them, but also abundant peace. Now, as David was saying, while we wait on the Lord, it's always filled with anxieties and worries. But when the waiting ends, God promises an abundant peace to us. A peace that will shun all that anxiety, all that worry, all that wrestlings that we have within and outside. And it is this peace that creates trust in the Lord, which leads to a third point, verses 12 to 20. The third way to hold fast to our integrity is to remind ourselves to trust God that He will not only deliver us from evil, but also punish them. The third point is to remind ourselves to trust in God who will not only deliver us from the evil, but also punish the evildoers. Here again, David tells us that we ought to trust in God because He has promised the reward for the righteous and the judgment for the wicked. And in the whole section, he just focuses on the temporary nature of the wicked and the everlasting nature of the righteous. And in the middle of it, he just adds a proverb which states, "Better is the little that the righteous has than the abundance of many wicked." This wisdom saying somehow fits the purpose of the psalmist, who's saying that it does not matter how much wealth and prosperity the wicked has, because they are going to lose everything. And in light of that, whatever the righteous has, it is better than them. It is always better than them. And this is a known condition to all the believers of God, isn't it? At times we are so preoccupied with our own anxieties and worries that we actually forget all the good we have in our lives. But from God's perspective, that's all what we need. And the reason David gives us, because he knows the days of his people. He knows the days of blameless. And their heritage, their reward, will remain forever, unlike the wealth and prosperity of the wicked. Now we, as Christians, we possess that heritage, we possess that wealth, spiritual or material, in the person of Jesus Christ. We have received everything. Let me remind you again. We have received everything that we need. Most people do not understand what God has stored for us. And honestly, they don't have any concept of what abundance is. And here's David, who's suggesting us that all we need to do is to wait. And God will reward us for our waiting, and for our perseverance. As it is through our faith in Jesus Christ we can hold on to the integrity David is speaking of. And that integrity is needed to persevere in our faith. This integrity, which is also regarded as moral uprightness, is something that we do not generate in ourselves. It is given to us by God through Jesus Christ. Because we were the ones who were wicked and the evildoers. And through His Son, Jesus Christ, He made us meek and blameless so that we could have a heritage and a wealth of an everlasting nature. And it is in Him we can hope in God. It is in Him that we can understand that God is a righteous judge, and it is in Him that we can trust that God will reward the meek and punish the wicked. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we give You thanks for Your righteous providence, especially when we do not understand it. If possible, Lord, open our finite minds that we can behold the beauty of Your righteous providence, which is hidden only in Your holy counsel, which we cannot fathom, but through our trust and faith in Your Son Jesus Christ, we can praise and give thanks for it to You. In Your Son's name we ask. Amen.